But thank you for coming out this afternoon. This afternoon, don't let the title deceive you or scare you off. It says breast cancer prevention, but actually we're going to learn some things to help prevent all cancers. The reason why I make my lectures more female-friendly, as I should say, is that I've done many talks on men's health, but you always have more women show up at all the presentations than guys. And if you look around the room, I mean, it's majority of women who have shown up. And so, if I can't get to the guys, I try to get to the woman involved in their lives. So this afternoon, we're going to talk and learn about cancer prevention, but we're going to use it in the context of breast cancer prevention because that's a hot topic right now. And by the way, the Bible speaks of cancer. But it also speaks of its end. And I'm going to show you the text where the Bible speaks about a plague that is affecting us today. So let us start off, first of all, with some statistics. These are some of the numbers. I'm only going to go through a couple of them that you need to know about breast cancer. First of all, 1 in 8 U.S. women will develop breast cancer. So if you count 8 women, one of them, right now in your church, will more likely develop breast cancer. In 2015, there was an estimated 231,840. These are new cases after looking at breast cancer development over 10 years. But look at this. A man's lifetime risk of developing breast cancer is about 1 in 1,000. Here is a note that we should keep in mind for our young boys. A young boy who starts to develop women-like looking breasts, what we call gynecomastia. A young boy, we used to make fun of them, those things give milk, all sorts of stuff. Be careful. That boy needs to lose weight. Because if he's starting to develop women's breasts, he is one of those men that is at high risk of developing breast cancer. Breast cancer rates in the U.S. began decreasing in the year 2000. Why? Because people didn't listen to God. There's a reason why women go through menopause. I won't get into that, but I remember arguing with my colleagues all the time who just want to swallow what everybody tells you in medicine, hook, line, and sinker. We started putting women on hormonal replacement therapy the minute they went into menopause. If I could tell you all the wonderful things that estrogen does, estradiol, the 3 formulations of estrogen, you would be like, wow, that sounds like a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. So a study came out after many years of this practice that showed that we were actually increasing the risk of breast cancer by putting women on hormones when they became menopausal. So if you're having some menopausal symptoms, you definitely want to talk to your doctor about if you need to be on hormones or not. The other thing is, the decrease of the rate of breast cancer was due to reduced use of hormonal replacement therapy, but also fewer women were using birth control. Okay? Now, these are numbers. Here's another thing. In the U.S., white women are slightly more likely to develop breast cancer than African-American women. But African-American women are more likely to die of breast cancer. This has to do with an access issue. One of the good things about the change in healthcare or the change we're trying to create is access to preventative healthcare services. Have you ever seen mammogram screenings offered in the hood? They weren't typically offered in the hood. Now, and if you know someone, there's a lot of ignorance in our community about having our women get breast cancer screenings. That access is now available. So the reason why African-American women were dying more than the Caucasian women just simply had to do with they did not have clinics or access to health care in their neighborhood. And in 2015, there are more than 2.8 million women with a history of breast cancer in the U.S. Now, here is the statistic you need to pay attention to. A woman's risk of breast cancer doubles if she has a first-degree relative, primarily a mother, sister, or daughter, who died before the age of 50 at breast cancer, of breast cancer. It means that you have, and you're going to have to come to grips with this, a genetic predisposition to develop breast cancer. What that means is not if you will develop breast cancer, but when. That's a small percentage of women, and the only way, about 5 to 10%, the only way you know is to look at a relative who has passed away early from breast cancer. What I would recommend is early mammography screenings, probably starting at 45. And you know what? If you Google free breast cancer screenings, a lot of times they're available in your area and not known. They won't charge you anything. It's only if you're high risk. Oops. But here is an even more interesting statistics about breast cancer. And actually, this is true of a lot of cancers too. 85% of breast cancer occurs in women who have no family history of breast cancer. Meaning that now we're not totally sure all of the things that cause breast cancer. So that was the intro. The real title of this lecture is, how do you decrease your chances of rolling up cancer during your lifetime? Because it is a game of odds. So, here's the first thing, the first issue. The problem in medicine is we're very myopic. We only trust information from allopathic physicians. But folks, if I'm going to fight a war, I want the Army, the Navy, the Marines. I want every skilled fighter to help me in my fight against the enemy. The problem in medicine is we're only using traditional techniques that have been used by allopaths. But if you know anyone who's a nutritionist, if you know anyone who's an osteopath, if you know anyone who is a personal trainer, we're going to discover a comprehensive way of helping to reduce your risk of developing breast cancer from various expert sources. And what will blow your mind away is how simple these things are to practice. Now, the Bible does speak of breast cancer. I'm sorry, breast cancer. The Bible does speak of cancer. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die. What this means is that every single cell in your body has a time clock that when it hits a certain time, those cells start to die. Now, this was a revelation to me as I was a very evil little boy. When I used to attend church, the pews were my best shelter. I used to terrorize the elderly people at my church. I used to do all sorts of stuff under the pew, take a ruler and scratch people's legs, you know, having them think something was biting them. I mean, I used to hide old ladies' wigs. I was a terror. But when I read this text and realized it doesn't matter how many push-ups I do, how much weights I lift, that one day I would go through the same thing. I had a conversion experience where now if you ask patients, I'm the most kind and patient doctor with my elderly patients, but they don't know the path that God had to take me to get there. But all of us, the vision will fail. We all, if we live long enough, will develop arthritis, and many of us will have tenets of diabetes because the cells will die. Okay? This Bible is talking about a principle called apoptosis. Everybody say apoptosis. It means A, when you see that in front of a word, it means absence of a pop without inflammation. This means that you were designed to die slowly, gracefully, and peacefully. Inflammation, signs of inflammation are swelling, pain, fatigue, and malaise. But the Bible says that every cell in your body is designed to die without these signs of disease. But you have to understand this concept to understand cancer, and that's how you're going to understand the preventative strategies. So apoptosis, is there pain involved? Yes or no? No. Remember, it's without inflammation. Apoptosis, is there weakness involved in the process? No. Apoptosis, is there pain involved in the process? Apoptosis, is there weakness involved in the process? No. Apoptosis, is there fever involved in the process? No. None of those things are present when the cell dies according to its time. Do you have that? That's the key to understanding cancer. So, I want to show you the first cancer you actually beat off in your life. Everybody hold up your hand. Now, look in between your fingers. You will notice there's a little bit of webbing there. There's a little bit of skin in between the fingers. Everybody see that? That is the first cancer you actually fought off in life. Because in the womb, you had a webbing in between those fingers. And then apoptosis occurred when the cells that formed this web began to die without inflammation, without pain, without swelling. And then when you were born, boom. You fought off your first cancer. When you look at your hand, that was the first cancer your body ever fought off, with apoptosis. Is everybody following that? Okay. So, the basic human lifestyle is, you start as a baby, your cells start to grow, and then at some point, the signal kicks in that it's time for these cells start to die. Okay? So, you are a mortal. What happens with a cell that has no apoptosis, it's a cell that becomes immortal and there is no signal to stop it from dying. A cancer cell is a regular human cell that has lost the signal sequence to start dying at some point. And it just keeps on growing. So when that cell, amongst the other regular cells, starts to grow and grow and grow, then we have a swelling called a tumor, which is the first sign of cancer. So the battle of your life is, the cancer cell has no sunset, and it keeps fighting you until your sunset. Let me skip this grade and stage. Because I won't get into that. That's not important for this lecture. Okay, so how can you stop the immortality of the cancer cell? Folks, first of all, let me tell you, to stop the immortality of the cancer cell, there is no eating, dieting, or exercising lifestyle that will stop an immortal cell. Did you hear what I just said? Once the cell becomes immortal, there is nothing humanly you can do to stop it. But the Bible gives us the only cure for cancer, and that is this. Dr. Paul Apostle is considered a resurrectionologist oncologist. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 3, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Here it is. "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked." Paul states that the only way that this mortal should put on immortality is a total recreation of your body's cells. There is no way to stop cancer. Let me say that again. There is no way to stop cancer. Man will never find a cure for cancer. He cannot stop a process that is an abnormality of sin. But what can we do in the meantime to decrease our chances of rolling up cancer in this lifetime? That's what we need to concentrate on. But I want you to make sure you understand the title of this lecture. You're not going to run out of here thinking that you found the cure to stop cancer. You're going to learn some techniques to decrease your risk of developing cancer. So, I like martial arts, so here's number one. Straight punch number one against cancer development. Number one, maintain a healthy body weight. But folks, let me give you a little bit of detail on maintaining a healthy body weight. It doesn't mean you look at the number on a scale. The maintenance of maintaining a healthy body weight, the way you help to prevent the cancer is controlling your portion sizes at every meal. Here is why. Folks, when you eat a small, medium, or large size meal, you're releasing a small, medium, or large amount of insulin. When your body releases insulin, it releases a growth hormone with that insulin. Guess what growth hormone causes cells to do? What do you think? Grow. And what did I say cancer cells are? Ones that are growing immortal. So people get confused about this concept. They think that to decrease your risk of cancer, you need to lose weight. No, you need to control your portion sizes at every meal. What I do with my patients is I tell them you have three plates in your cabinet, a small, a medium, and a large. Just make sure that your regular meals, you eat them on the medium-sized plate. Because even if it's a good meal, the minute you start eating huge portion sizes, you start releasing huge amounts of insulin, huge amounts of growth factor, and that growth factor can trigger a cell into becoming a cancer. All it needs is one signal. Now, let me see if you got the concept. If I am going to eat the small, medium, or large French fries, and I want to decrease my risk of cancer, what portion size will I choose? Medium. Now, if I eat one veggie link versus 10 veggie links, which portion size is causing a greater insulin release? The 10 veggie links. Folks, here's where we confuse ourselves. Some of us think because we're eating healthy, that still means we could eat big meals. And this is why you can find a person who is a lacto-ovo-vegetarian still developing cancer. It's about portion size. I'll take some questions later. Hold on to the question because I want to make sure we get through the concept. So here's rule number one. I'm not telling you what to eat. I'm telling you what size the portion of your meals should be on a regular basis. And you know what? Part of my saucers program is simply this. Can you believe I copyrighted this? Have the medical community reading all about this when it has to do with plates? All my patients eat their meals on the meal. I tell them when you go to McDonald's, I'm not encouraging them, but that's what they're doing. I say always go with the medium. Do not biggie size anything. Stick with the medium size. But do you get the concept? It has to do with insulin release and portion size, not necessarily body weight. Because what happens is when that cell is going through the growth cycle, let's say you keep eating big meals, speeds it up. Big meals, speeds it up. And you're doing this on a daily basis. Big meals, till finally that cell just keeps going and going and it grows and now you have a cancer. Rule number two, get the proper balance of fiber in your diet. Metamucil is not a fiber. People amaze me. They're talking about celiac disease. Ooh, don't eat fiber, wheat belly. They're talking about fiber supplements. The minute it says supplement, it means not real food. get a proper balance of dietary fiber. And they knew some of you are into the, you know, fruits and vegetables. So they have Metamucil and orange and berry burst just to fool you more. And since we have a growing Latino population, they even have Metamucil now in Spanish. Cinco beneficios de Metamucil. This is not a fiber supplement, but God has given us. It comes from Genesis. When God said he wanted Adam to eat herb-bearing seed, let me give you a rule that God gave us to let you know that what you're about to eat is a good fiber. Fruits and vegetables, but primarily fruits that have a lot of seeds or a big seed, have a healthy fiber content. Why are you eating Metamucil when God has given you a simple rule to identify good fiber? If it has a big seed or a lot of seeds, it's a good fiber. And I can email this chart to you. But let me give you a test. Apples. Is that a good fiber or bad fiber? Why? It has seeds. Peach. Why? Mango. Avocado. Watermelon. Seedless watermelon. You are smart. You want to know what? Seedless watermelon is a genetically modified food where man genetically modified the good fiber that God put in. You see how God was looking out for you? Now, if you want the best fibers, not only look for the seeds, but the fruits that you can eat the skin are even better than the ones that have a small seed or a bigger seed. So when you go shopping, look at how easy God made it. And you want the absolute best fiber, look for the fruits where you can eat the skin and they have a seed or a lot of seeds. How about pomegranate? Has a lot of seeds. It's a good fiber. Now, look at this. Y'all talking like nutritionists. Which is a better fiber food? A pomegranate or an apple?
Apple.
That's exactly right. Who could tell me why? And what? And you could, oh Lord, you got to be kidding. Did God make it this easy? Then why in the world does a nutritionist give you a handout, say eat this, don't eat that, eat this, don't, and you don't understand the principle? Now you have a PhD in nutrition. Mango versus peach, which is a better fiber food? Why? Have mercy. Look at that. Y'all ought to go home and do your happy dance after the sun sets. Do you see how smart you are? God said herb-bearing seed. And that's why. And look at this list. These are the six foods, if consumed on a daily basis, will help decrease your chance of developing colon cancer. The number one killer of African Americans in this country. And this church has the information, and we're not telling anybody. Don't, I can email this to you, sister. But look at this. Apple, and here's one thing that kidney beans and every dark-skinned black man knows. The black of the berry. You notice only the dark-skinned men answer. The darker the bean, the better it is to defeat development of cancer. So black bean versus brown bean. Which one is better? Have mercy. Did you guys study nutrition? Do you see how easy God made it? So these are the proper sources of fiber. So why is the consumption of fiber, why is the consumption of proper fiber so important? There's a little, oops, yeah, let me, I'll go to this one. There's a little gland in your body called a gallbladder. The only purpose of that gallbladder is to emulsify fats. But the chemical produced in that gallbladder produces cancer. Here's what the fiber does. The fiber, God knew that at some point we were going to kill and eat flesh foods. And he installed in our livers a gallbladder as a preventative medicine practice. And here's why. Those fibers bind up that poisonous substance. It never touches your colon and you poop it out. Now do you see why I tell people who come and tell me, "Doc, they took out my gallbladder because I developed stones and I feel great about that." And I tell them, well, if you don't change your diet, you're going to develop something worse than stones. It's called colon cancer. Because the only way you develop stones is you're eating too many fast, fried, and fatty foods. But God gave you fiber to offset the damage. So let me ask you two quick questions before we go on. Okay, I want to make sure you learn. All right? Who can tell me what is the rule to know that we are consuming a good fiber fruit? It has seeds, and you can eat the skin, right? We want to look for seeds, big or small, and the ultimate best ones, you can eat the skin. Now, Brother Ignorant is eating, you know, at my house, and Brother Ignorant has this product that he says can help prevent, cancer in his body, and Brother Ignorant has 3 full plate size of food. What is the better portion size that we should consume regularly with our meals if we want to decrease our risk of cancer? Small, medium, or large? Medium. Why? Because insulin spikes are small, medium, or large, and insulin releases what with it? Growth hormone. Did you guys study endocrinology? Did you study nutrition? All of this comes from the Bible. Why do you think God said that he wanted to give his people milk and honey? Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. Here's another rule. No trans or saturated fats. Here is how I remember this. Would you like them to transplant any of your organs? That's not a good thing. Would you like fat to sit on your arteries, your brain? So you want to consume foods that have no trans fats or no saturated fats, or they're low in trans fats or saturated fats. And here is why. Apoptosis, is there inflammation or no inflammation? There's no inflammation. I'm going to give you some signs and tell me if they are apoptotic or cancerous. Pain. Cancerous. Fever. Malaise. Weakness. Where in the world did the body get the chemicals to produce inflammation? Folks, those trans and saturated fats feed in your body the arachidonic acid system. Your whole system of inflammation that can occur in the stomach, intestine, kidney, platelet, macrophage, these are your joints. All of this which can produce inflammatory pain comes from eating foods that are high in trans or saturated fats, which is your pig, shrimp, lobster, crab, and fried potato chips. Folks, when the cell is overgrowing, it has nothing within its capacity to produce inflammation. It hooks into the arachidonic acid system, and if that system is fueled with saturated or trans fats, it means that the pain is greater, the malaise is greater, the fever is greater. What have you? This is why God, the only purpose of Leviticus 11 was, God did not want us to hurt ourselves by overeating these things. It has nothing to do with salvation. God knows that if you eat pig, lobster, shrimp, and crab, that you are increasing your chances of developing cancer. Is cancer something God wants to give to his kids? No. That's why he said don't eat these. Now let me tell you how Adventists should present this health message, and they don't. I was at the Baptist church. 2 years these people asked me 3 or 4 times to come to their church and give them a health lecture. They to this day don't know that Brother Ross is an Adventist. The first mother of the Baptist church caught this concept and she took the mic out of my hand. And I didn't know what to expect. She said, "Church, sorry, Dr. Ross, but I got to talk to my family. Do you realize what this man is teaching us?" And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, what have I done to upset the first mother?" She said, "This man is showing us that if we continue to eat," this is a Baptist church, "if we continue to eat pig, shrimp, lobster, crab, and all of these nasty things from the sea, that we're increasing our risk of cancer." And first mother got into her preacher Baptist mode, and she said, "I'm declaring that in this church for the next 3 weeks, we shall not eat any of these scavengers, and we shall report back to Dr. Ross how we're doing." This is the first mother of the Baptist church. A month later, I get a call from the first mother. "Doc, my husband was suffering from gout. They were going to go up on his diabetic meds. But when we put this little concept into practice, because now we understood that when we eat pig, shrimp, lobster, and crab, it's just fueling our system of inflammation, which causes pain, which causes fever, which causes weakness. I'm walking with my husband in the morning. He's dropped in body weight, and half the church has lost 15% of their body fat not eating shrimp, lobster, crab." The first mother of the Baptist church. And they don't know I'm Adventist. And they don't know they're practicing an Adventist lifestyle that they rejected because we came at them, "You nasty first day people, if you're eating this stuff, you're going to hell." Had nothing to do with that. But what this chart shows us is any disease that involves pain, inflammation, weakness, if you're consuming this, it just makes the condition worse, including cancer. Now does everybody understand Leviticus 11? It was to decrease inflammation. Number two, don't worry, I'm speeding through this. Exercise at least 120 minutes a week. If you were just, let me cut off some of you already calculating in your mind, because I've heard every excuse under the sun. I walk a lot at work. I'm on my feet all day. You can fool your mama and your doctor some of the times, but you can't fool your brain. When you are at work, your brain releases stress hormones, which negates any cardiovascular benefit you would get from walking on your feet all day. Take 15 minutes a day and do something active outside of work. Here's why. Here's the science. When your body's not releasing stress hormones, it releases interleukin-1 when you move. What does interleukin-1 do? Interleukin-1 rushes your blood cells to any site of injury, invader, bacterial, or parasite really fast. So people who are more sedentary, the reason why they get sick and it lasts 3, 4 days, 2 weeks, it's because their body's not used to moving their cells really fast. But when you walk 15 minutes on a regular basis, your body makes the cardiovascular changes to get those cells that fight off disease where they need to go really fast. The army is always prepared on a daily basis. This is why people who exercise, they get sick, but they recover quickly. Because they're releasing interleukin-1 every day. And those cells are, if you want a chance to fight off a cancer, you want your cells to get there and wipe that cancer cell out before it has a chance to start growing. And exercising 120 minutes a week, 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, will put your body in that mode because of interleukin-1. Uppercut number three against cancer development: get enough sleep. Oh, have mercy. Now we're going to step on some toes about how insomnia is connected to cancer development. Now, look at this cell, everybody. It is called the natural killer cell. Now, can I ask you something? What time of the day do all the thugs in Bakersfield tend to come out? At nighttime, right? What about L.A.? Nighttime. What about Fresno? For some reason, the thugs like nighttime. Well, you have a thug in your body. He's a gangbanger called the natural killer cell. You know what this cell does? When you're, now, not when you close your eyes, not when you take a nap, not when you take sleep medications. Your sleep pattern is tied into a circadian rhythm. When your body hits circadian rhythm sleep, the natural killer cell is released in the body. The natural killer cell patrols up and down your body. It inspects every single cell. And when it notes one error with one cell, it naturally kills it. Folks, if you have lived 50 years without developing a cancer, and at 51 you develop a cancer, thank God for 50 years of grace. Every single night when you sleep, the natural killer cell is killing off cancer cells, which can be any cell in your body. So the natural killer cell is the ninja of your body. But your body has to go into a sleep circadian rhythm for that cell to be released. Now, let me tell you the thing that's bad about some of you working overtime too much. Some of you taking sleeping pills without trying sleep hygiene. Is that when the body does not hit the circadian rhythm that you are truly asleep, it does not release the natural killer cell. My prediction is cancers will explode in the United States of America as the rate of Starbucks has exploded. Because the fact that people need something to wake them up in the morning means that they did not get a good night's rest. And if you're not getting a good night's rest, the first thing I would advise you is engage in proper sleep hygiene, and that's a different lecture for another day. But if you're not sleeping properly, that cell is not released, and at nighttime, the thug is not fighting off cancer. The only role of this cell is to kill any cell that has a precancerous tendency. And I'll skip through these because, you know, I can see some of y'all are really struggling. Do not ingest alcohol, nicotine, or smoke in any form because these form free radicals. But here's the sad thing about our environment. Whether you smoke or not, you are being exposed to free radicals. Now, it doesn't give you license to do that. What it says is that you really don't want to expose yourself to excessive free radicals. And you do have a stake in smoking prevention as a child of God, because that secondhand smoke is worse than the firsthand smoke. So if you just think, oh, let them people smoke and die, I'm going to heaven. They're polluting the same fishbowl that we all live in and increasing your risk of cancer. Let me rush through this. What the free radical does is it sets this cancer cell off. It may be growing slow, and then that free radical comes along, it bumps the cell, it speeds up a little bit. Take another puff, boom, it speeds up the cell a bit. You take enough puffs, it speeds up the cell, and boom, now you've got a cancerous growth. So you don't want to smoke, ingest alcohol in any form. Next one is avoid exposure to cancer-causing chemicals. Folks, I hate to burst your bubble on this word organic. I'm a toxicologist. Save that extra money and make a donation to the church for all that organic food you're buying. Can I tell you something that they're not telling you? The supposed pesticides that are not included in organic foods were outlawed since the 1960s. They know I know that, but they don't know you know that. You don't know that. So all these people, Doc, are you eating organic? I've been eating organic since I was born. Because all those chemicals were already outlawed. Do you understand what I'm telling you? These people are lying to you. When they tell you that you're paying more for organic food. What I'm saying is, don't break your bank account thinking that you're making yourself healthier because you're overpaying for something you think is organic. Those pesticides that they cannot use in foods were already outlawed. It's just that it was not a public health concern. But in this country, we make money off of fear. Spend that extra money on a gym membership and get your 15 minutes of walking in a day. That will get you more benefit than over worrying. Is that organic? Is that organic? Is that organic? Is that organic? It's always been organic. That's why beef jerky is organic. They're not lying to you. These chemicals were never put in the foods. I know some of you are struggling with this. But I saw on 3ABN. They don't have a toxicologist on there. All right, I'm almost done. The next one. Stop requesting so many x-rays. Do not request more than 3 to 4 x-rays a year if you don't need it. And here's the other thing. I'm not scaring you. Be careful of overusing your microwave. You know that shiny, clean, big thing in your house called an oven? Use the oven when you can. Here's another key about radiation and cancer causing. Keep your ground line phone. When you go home, don't use the cell phone, have it stuck to your ear. Use the ground line at home. Use the ground line at work. And use the cell phone for what it was intended to be used for. Hands free when you're in the car. Because it is emitting radiation. But when you're at home, use the ground line to decrease your chances of being exposed to x-rays and increasing your chances of developing cancer. Next one. This one is very important. Rule number 8 against cancer development, let all potential mothers know this. Breastfeed your babies. The breast milk has IgA in it, which protects the colon from viral and cancerous disease. Let me tell you what's been going on. Is that a lot of God gave women breasts and told them to breastfeed their babies for a reason. Have you noticed recently children have been getting a lot of stomach flus? Because when we stopped breastfeeding the babies, and they invented the Rotatec vaccine to replace what was in the breast milk, it was due to a response of all these kids developing intestinal illness. And one of those intestinal illness, when those kids become adults, is colon cancer. You want to be involved in breastfeeding promotion because it will, over your lifetime, decrease your risk of developing cancer. And finally, the last one, the Bible says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And this is why I'm so focused now on emotional trauma in our church. When a person is happy, they release endorphins. Endorphins is a natural form of morphine, and morphine kills inflammation. So a happy person is medicating themselves against cancer development. So I'm done. Let me run through a real quick quiz with you. Real quick quiz. Apoptosis. Is there inflammation involved or not? It's not, right? Can somebody tell me the foods that someone can consume or the types of fat that feed into the inflammatory system and can help us develop a cancer? Anybody tell me? What's that? Potato chips. What? Pork. Crab, right? Did God tell us not to eat these because we're going to go to hell? Or was he trying to save us from developing debilitating disease? Right. Okay, who can tell me what the rule is when we go shopping to know which fruits have the highest and best fiber content? Seeds and skin. And what's secondary to the first type in quality? Lard or medium seed. Okay. And what type of what type of plate size is it best to consume our meals?
Medium.
Because with the insulin is released what? Growth hormone, right? And if we're releasing a medium amount of growth hormone, we're not increasing our risk of cancer. But who could tell me what portion size consumed on a regular basis will increase our risk of developing cancer? Large. And why? Who could tell me why? You're producing more insulin. Look at that. You all should pat yourself on the back. You want to know what you just did? You just gave me expert advice that a nutritionist, an oncologist will give to people, and they have no idea where it came from. You just got a PhD in nutrition and oncology. I think you should give yourselves a round of applause. So, folks, that's my lecture. These are some strategies that you can use to help decrease your risk of developing cancer. Did it make sense? Is it doable? God bless you. Any questions? I'll take some. Because most people can't. She asked if a medium plate, consuming your meals on a medium plate is better. Why not a small plate? Because most people end up hungry when they do meals that are too small. My advice would be, if you want to do small sizes, do very frequent meals throughout the day. But I found that the medium-sized plates allows people to do the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's also good for your metabolism. Any other questions? It's the same concept. The meat of the non-scale fish actually feeds into the arachidonic acid and develops the inflammatory pathway. So gout, cancer, fever, cold, every disease that involves inflammation is amplified if that system is kept on high. Now, keep in mind, it's not eating one fish that will do this. This is what people do over a lifetime. Here's just something real quick. The patients I worked with, the reason why I have copyrighted the sausage program, get this now, the patients that do the medium-sized plates in a year lost the same amount of weight as the people that did the gastric bypass. But anytime I try to publish this, the endocrinologists want to shove and shut me down because it's taking away business from their buddies, the surgeons. So I had to copyright the program so they would leave me alone. But I tell people, before you get cut, if you can be disciplined enough to do the medium, and they come back to me, "Doc, if I had a fatted calf," "Well, I don't eat beef." "If I had a fatted chicken," "Well," they say thank you, because it does work. Spread that around. You know somebody wants the medium. You know what? That's the thing. Every plate set has a medium size. It's so wonderful. I've never measured it, but I noticed that if you look at a plate, the three plate size, they never have the medium leaning towards bigger meetings. It's just right. Yeah.
What about water?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Water doesn't prevent cancer, but the consumption of excessive calories is what can actually increase the risk of cancer. The only thing that water does is hydrate you without giving you a lot of the caffeine, sugar, et cetera, that's found in sodas and sweet drinks. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Broccoli is one of them. Cauliflower is another one, right. Spinach is actually another one. And those were, Brussels sprouts. But the main one is broccoli and cauliflower. Yeah. And I can email you that slide. Asparagus, nothing wrong with it. I was just listing the ones that we have researched and know for a fact decrease your risk of developing colon cancer. Any other questions? I think we're, yes. Well, you're not alone. I have a workshop on identifying. There are really two types of sleep disorders: having a problem falling asleep or having a problem staying asleep. It would kind of, in other words, I don't have a microwave version to give you of how to correct that, but I'm going to have online pretty soon the workshop, how to identify your sleep problem, and then how to use the sleep hygiene methods to correct it before trying to take medicines. Some people do need medicines, don't get me wrong, but the majority of us just need proper sleep hygiene. Okay? I mean, you don't take a shower by rubbing on the soap first and then turning on the water, right? That's sleep hygiene. You know, there's a way to trigger your body into sleep. Any other questions? The what? She's asking, how can you help the brain after stroke? Well, you know what? It depends on the type of stroke that was suffered, but I'll give you some basic guidelines. Number one, you want to keep the blood pressure normal. Number two, you want to keep the cholesterol level normal. Number three, you want to get activity on a regular basis. Those are really the three primary factors that cause people to have the majority of strokes, barring some sort of genetic defect in the brain. But, you know, it's prevention once again. Any other questions? I think, okay, Pastor.
You said black beans, you know that the darker the beans is going to actually help prevent
cancer prevention, yeah.
What's the color have to do with it?
What the color has to do with it is that the darker the bean, it actually has a harder digestible fiber content. And so what that translates into is when you consume a darker colored bean with a higher fiber content, it slows down your digestion and actually allows you to process the foods and feel full faster. So you don't overeat, because remember, we connected it that if you overeat, you're increasing your insulin spike. And then if your body can slow down the transition from the stomach to the duodenum, you're not creating indigestion. So the darker the bean has a thicker, heavier fiber content. That's why it's darker. Yeah.
So does that translate to other
foods that are darker? Not always. Just beans. And that's what Jacob and Esau, it was over a bowl of beans, But, yeah. See, it's all biblical. Look at that. See? Yeah. Is that what? Oh, she's asking me about a plant blood thinner. Hey, the biggest lie and trick played in medicine is telling everybody that you need to be on aspirin. Omega-3, 6-9, does the exact same thing as aspirin without the side effects. Why didn't they tell you about that? Because they couldn't figure out a way to market omega-3, 6-9 and put it under the control of the pharmaceutical companies. But omega-3, 6-9, I could get into the physiology, but it has to do with that clotting scheme, works like aspirin without the side effects. Did you know that? I'm sure you didn't know that, and it's not because of ignorance on your part, it's just that no one saw a way to make money off of it. Not necessarily a brand. If you don't like to eat fish, particularly salmon, this is why I think Jesus ate fish. Because, man, he needed a blood thinner with all them demons. I understand why Jesus ate fish. He didn't want to have a stroke with some of that funky theology he had to defend against. Those disciples would have drove me batty. But, I really think Jesus ate fish and he bought this out because he was trying to prevent himself, for he was the Son of God in the form of man. And he's like, man, I ain't stroking out in front of these brethren. I might forget who my father is, forget what my, I read my Bible differently. I'm sorry. But if you don't like eating salmon, just any omega-3, 6-9 is fine.
Yeah. I say, God, what diet do you want me on?
Okay.
Okay.
And be able to make my own food from scratch and doing all this stuff.
No, that's fine.
The good stuff is in. And I tell you, I have diabetes, but I have been doing very well.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I don't have to take the medicine no more.
Okay.
If I follow God, when he gave another regenerative diet, don't need to what he says.
Yeah.
That would be my cure.
Okay. Excellent. God bless you. Any other questions? I think that is it. Yes? Okay, folks. Thank you once again for coming out. Share the information. Next time we have one of these, this is for the community. I think you realize that Adventist, First Day, whatever, a lot of people are worried about cancer development. These are the type of things based in the Bible that can help people to live. And so your mission next time is when pastor pulls the strings to pull these programs off, just invite one person because the information could save their life. The first mother of the Baptist church converted the church into not eating shrimp, lobster, and crab just because one presentation made sense. It wasn't because of this man. It's because that man is connected to the brain of this man who wants to help see his children do better. Okay? So remember that next time. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Say amen. I would love to have you here and invite St. Peter's members here. Wouldn't that be nice? If we could invite Oscar Anthony's church over here. I know I might get in trouble, but that's all right. He's my friend. And, I mean, that's what it's about, sharing what we have with others. It will do no good if we take this information back home and wouldn't share it with anybody. And we were talking earlier, Dr. Ross, you were saying that the purpose of eating healthy was not to see which one of us can live to 100 the fastest or the first, but so that we could build God's kingdom. Yeah, he needs healthy soldiers. But, you know, sometimes we get it twisted. You know, I want to eat healthy so that I can glorify God and that I can win a soul to him. By the time homecoming gets here, we should be the most healthiest, happiest church in Bakersfield. I mean,